everybody that you run into. How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to respect you? It's a brand new day. Respect yourself. Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown. And respecting yourself during a very stressful time is, I find, quite difficult. And we've had quite a bit of stress associated with putting our Take It From Us broadcast together today. Just yesterday, I heard that our program on a suicide prevention training program couldn't go ahead because our guest was called away to work. Then we decided to do something again on the generic antidepressant Enlifax, and we wanted to play a half-hour interview from John Campbell from his new John Campbell podcast series. And Television New Zealand has said that we can only play a short version of that. So we are now relying on our guest, who is on the phone from Hamilton, and we'll get to Trudy Weber fairly soon. But let's get back to our program. Today, Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, continues to support the campaign against generic antidepressant Enlifax, which is a replacement for antidepressants called Aro and Effexor. They are branded antidepressants. This issue has resulted in serious side effects for many Enlifax users and sidestepping bureaucrats whose awareness of life with pain and depression at the coalface is woefully ignorant. Now, investigative reporter John Campbell, as I've mentioned, from TV One, has launched the John Campbell podcast series and pitched into the Enlifax issue in a podcast called When the Drugs Don't Work. We sought permission to rebroadcast all of Campbell's podcast from TV One, and we did get a little bit of confusing response. It looked as though it was going to be okay, and then at the 11th hour, the executive director at Television New Zealand said we could play just 1 minute of it. So we hope to now bring you that 1 minute. Declan is confident, and I should have introduced Declan, our technician, Declan Curran. So, Declan, can we play just this 1 minute of the? It was almost a half hour interview, including interviews with the Pharmac executive director, I think, or general manager. I think her name is Lisa Williams, and this podcast from John Campbell is available on Television New Zealand on demand. But this is the first minute of the interview.
Concern is mounting over a recently funded antidepressant, with a growing number of patients reporting life-threatening side effects.
And how did you find out about the story in Enlifax and the people for whom it's not working?
Okay, well, we were contacted by a group of patients. That's how it first came to our attention. There are a group of people, obviously it's not working for, they have all had very serious relapses into depression and a really hard job coming out the other side, and they contacted us.
While complaints now stand at over 240 and climbing, support groups say the number of people suffering is far higher.
And I went to meet them. And as a journalist, you've got to sit in the middle. Is it, you know, what's happening? Is it real? Are they exaggerating? And I was in absolutely no doubt after meeting them and hearing their stories that whatever it is about this generic drug, it's not working for them.
Well, there's a little tidbit from the John Campbell podcast series that was played, I think, about a week or so ago. It is available on Television New Zealand On Demand. It's also available on their Facebook page, and it has been posted on mental health Facebook pages, I think on the Enlifax page as well. We now are going to talk to Trudy Webber, who has been doing a lot of research and digging on Enlifax and general medications. Trudy has a bachelor's degree in social sciences, majoring in psychology and philosophy, and has been using her research skills to dig up alternate research to that which Pharmac and MedSafe have been relying on, and which particularly Pharmac has been... Well, when they introduced Enlifax, they made it quite clear to all doctors and pharmacists and those who were using it that there was absolutely no difference between Enlifax and the previous antidepressants like Effexor and Arrow. So Trudy says in an email to me, I suffer from PTSD due to a medical misadventure 5 years ago, which has also left me with chronic pain and fatigue. What I have learnt about health, mental health systems and now medication in New Zealand angers and frustrates me. Most of New Zealand doesn't realise how bad the health system has become until they are put in a position where they have to use it. Well, Trudy, you're on the phone from Hamilton. Welcome to Take It From Us. We hope you're there.
Yes, I'm here.
That's wonderful. Well, what have you discovered about this, what I regard as an Enlifax scandal?
Well, I've learned a lot more about medication than I ever wished to.
Right. So obviously not all of it's very positive.
No. Yes, after a lot of digging, and I don't have access, obviously, to all the big databases of information that MedSafe and Pharmac and other professionals should have, but even in just what I've been able to access, I've found lots of research which says that while bioequivalence is fine for certain drugs... That for antidepressants and things like that, you can't necessarily assume that bioequivalence is going to mean that the drug has the same therapeutic efficacy.
This term of bioequivalence, you're saying that Enlifax is a generic antidepressant, you're describing it as a bioequivalent to Effexor and the earlier Arrow venlafaxine.
Yes, because what happens is, if I explain what bioequivalence and bioavailability is, which is what MedSafe relies on, it's basically the company that has produced the generic. So the generic Enlifax, which is manufactured by Mylan, they run tests and they give 20 healthy people the Enlifax, or half of them the Enlifax and half of them the brand drug they're testing it against. And then at intervals they take blood tests and check the same concentration of the drug in the blood to see if it's the same. And they also take urine samples to see that, you know, what the output is the same.
Well, do they measure the side effects, though?
Pardon?
Do they measure the side effects?
No, they're not looking at side effects at all. All they're looking at is how the drug actually is in the blood and how it's coming out. They can't even measure that it's got to the site. Like in this case, it would be the site of the brain where the... neurotransmitters are, because it's dealing with your neurotransmitters like serotonin. They don't even show that it's got to the brain and is crossing the blood-brain barrier and doing what it should.
Right. How long did this this testing, how long did it continue for, do you think?
From what I've read in literature and have become a bit of a cynic, I would say that they test it until they get the results that they require.
Right.
And then they present that test to have it certified that this is, you know, bioequivalent. They then send the documents to MedSafe and MedSafe read them. So every time you hear that MedSafe has exhaustively researched and, you know, gone back and checked their things, they're basically getting a piece of paper out of their filing box and saying, yes, we have the appropriate bit of paper, we're fine. I asked them for a copy of the actual test, which I got, but there was a lot of the information was redacted on it, so it actually was just a meaningless pages of graphs, which anybody with a computer could produce.
So you requested that through the Official Information Act?
Yes, I did, and we've complained to the Ombudsman to try and get the redacted information, as MedSafe said it would be when they say that, you know, because it has commercial implications for the company, but personally I can't see that the information that they've withheld would be commercially sensitive if they've actually done what they've said they should have done.
So do you think this is a real cover-up?
Yes, I think, Pharmac and MedSafe are keeping to their story that, you know, this was done for to save money, but in actual fact, Enlifex wasn't the cheapest brand of generic they could have gone with. They tried changing to Arovenlifaxine a couple of years ago, and I was taking the Arovenlifaxine. But because there was really no financial incentive for the pharmacists to change the patients onto the Aro, it didn't work. So they ended up still supplying Effexor.
Can I just stop you there? They continue to, you said, to prescribe Effexor, which is the branded antidepressant, which most people find very effective, and many are returning to that Effexor.
Yes, they are.
Right.
When they tried to change to the Aro venlafaxine, because it was Effexor comes as a capsule, whereas the Aro one comes as a tablet. So patients noticed that there was a difference, but we were blamed as being brand sensitive and not wanting to change. But it wasn't actually the patient's fault. It was the pharmacists in a lot of cases didn't bother changing the patients over because they had no financial incentive to do so. They were getting just as much subsidy back from the government for supplying Effexor as they were the Aro brand.
Well, you're talking about pharmacists, and I've had a message from Sarah McRae, who we interviewed about 3 weeks ago, and she is making the claim on the Enlifax problems with medication brand change New Zealand Facebook page. She's saying pharmacists care so little of the impact of this issue that they have charged some patients for Effexor at full price and put Enlifax in the box. We know people make mistakes, but this mistake is not unique to one pharmacy. It has happened to a few people on this page. It is ghastly that after what we have been through, and then even paying for the unfunded brands, they still put the generic in the boxes, and she says, appalling. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I have heard of incidences of that, and I also know that depending on which chemist you go to, you can get a wide variety of prices quoted. I was actually paying $120 for a 3-month supply. I've now changed to another pharmacy, and I'm only paying $60 for a 3 month supply.
Now, that's so a supply of Effexor. Trudy, we have to be very clear about which drug we're talking about, otherwise.
Oh, this is the Arrow Venlafaxine.
Oh, the Arrow Venlafaxine, I see. So you're paying for Arrow Venlafaxine. And Arrow Venlafaxine is not a generic, it's a branded medication.
No, it's actually a generic of Effexor. And a lot of people did, when they were changed to the Arrow, changed quite well. So obviously the Arrow is more equivalent to the Effexor. Mm. But the Enlifex is not equivalent enough to either the generic or the, it's not equivalent enough to Arrow or Effexor.
Well, I was prescribed Enlifex and thought nothing of it. I'd read the reassurances from Pharmac that this was exactly the same as the Effexor that I was taking. I had a number of very serious side effects, mostly physical side effects, shakiness to the extent where I thought I had Parkinson's disease, a sort of a psoriasis under my hair, and also considerable discomfort in my stomach. It was only when I read on Facebook on the Enlifex problems with medication brand change that I realised that Enlifex could be responsible for this. I went to my GP and he wasn't aware as to whether Effexor was still available. He immediately rang the chemist next door and he said, yes, it is, and I have made the change and my health has improved dramatically. In fact, it improved in 48 hours, and all those symptoms that I've just described went away.
Yes, well, when they changed my prescription from Arrow to Enlifex, I went into the pharmacist to pick up my prescription, and the pharmacist said, oh, your tablets will now be coming in a capsule form because Pharmax changed the subsidised brand, but it still contains exactly the same active ingredient.
Right.
And I didn't really think much of it because I thought, well, you know, this happens all the time. Pharmac changes to a cheaper brand because it's more economical, and I could understand that. That's fine. But I didn't get a leaflet or anything about the change. And because I wasn't really paying attention to the fact that, you know, my medication has changed, I thought it was exactly the same. When I started going downhill, I just attributed what was happening to other stressful events in my life, because it happened just before Christmas, and I always find Christmas stressful.
Yeah, well, don't we all? But could you just be a bit more explicit about, you said you went downhill. What do you mean by going downhill?
Well, I started having more anxiety attacks and getting more paranoid about things going on around me. And then after Christmas, when I thought, you know, I should, you know, it'll be better now because I can have a rest and get over things. But it got worse, and I would fly off the handle at, you know, stupid little things. And it got to the point where I just had absolutely no joy in life, and I just, wanted to end it all, or I wanted to harm myself so I could have some proof of the pain that I was feeling and going through. And, and it got to the point where I felt like I was just, one morning after a really bad day, I was thinking over what had happened, and I thought, I felt like I'd been standing outside my body looking at this monster who'd taken over, So I thought, this isn't right. It feels like my medication isn't working. This feels like, you know, when I hadn't been taking medication.
So this was about the point where you had an awareness that it could be the Enlifex, that it caused you your mood and your mood to drop, your anxiety to increase, the paranoia to come on. Or did you see all this outcry on Facebook as well and social media?
No, I actually got to the point where I thought my medication's not working, and I'd been gone through that before where a medication just suddenly, whether your body develops a resistance to it or whatever, it just doesn't seem to be working anymore. So I thought, well, I need to go back and see my doctor. And that was a Sunday, and I went online to try and make an appointment, and she didn't have any available that week. And I don't like seeing anybody else because it's such an effort to explain the whole situation. So I made one for the following week, and then that evening I was on a Facebook page I belong to for support for fibromyalgia patients, and it had someone had posted an article about Enlifex, and that sort of rang a bell in my mind. I thought, Enlifex, that sounds, or venlafaxine, I thought, that sounds like what I'm taking. I couldn't even remember what I was taking. So I went and had a look at my medication, and then I thought, oh, this is exactly the medication they're talking about. So the next morning I was in quite a state, and so I thought, I have to go back to the doctor and get an emergency appointment. And so I went down there, and I couldn't even get into the surgery. I had to wait until I had someone who could come with me and explain for me what I wanted. And the doctor saw me straight away. And fortunately, I have a good relationship with my doctor. So then she took one look at me and knew something obviously wasn't right. And I mentioned that I'd seen this thing about Enlifex on the Facebook page. And he said that when they prescribe venlafaxine, that's what they prescribe. They don't put a brand name or anything. So they just expect the pharmacist to provide you with your venlafaxine in whatever form it's coming. But she rang the pharmacist and asked them if they had Arrow venlafaxine still available, and they said they had some in stock. And she also found out how much it was going to cost me for a month. And then we talked about whether it was worth switching back to the Arrow to see if that helped or trying something else. But she said, I only had like one or two options left that I could try. And they couldn't put my dose up because I take other medication for the chronic pain and fatigue. So they couldn't actually increase my dose of Enlifex, which some people have done to try and help the problem.
Well, that's one of the, I think, one of the tragedies of this whole saga. I interviewed Rob Sheaf, who's a psychiatrist and who's been very active and, in fact, appears on the John Campbell podcast. He said that, one of the options is to increase the Enlifex. And I said to him, but if you're already experiencing a negative and detrimental side effects by increasing the medication, surely those side effects are going to intensify. And he said, well, there's absolutely every chance that that is going to happen. So, this is another worrying feature of this Enlifex. It's almost like, well, if it's, not working, take more of it and it'll work even worse.
Yes, so that's one thing that frustrates me about Pharmac's attitude is their reply is go back and see your GP and discuss your options. And for a lot of us, there aren't a lot of options left. I can't increase my dosage. Venlafaxine is only one of two funded serotonin norepinephrine.
Yes, don't worry too much about the technicalities, but I just want to clarify, when you talk about venlafaxine, that is the sort of general ingredient that is supposed to help in antidepressants, isn't it? So you went on to this Arrow venlafaxine. Have you noticed an improvement in your mood and less anxiety, that sort of thing?
Yes, definitely. After 2 weeks, I was so much better. It's taken me, I'm probably still not back at where I was originally, but I'm nowhere near the depths of the black hole that I was in.
And how do you feel about an antidepressant that has put you into the black hole?
I'm just mad that they didn't, that we weren't better informed so that we could actually monitor ourselves. It's like they think we, if they hide it from us and we don't notice, then we won't get these side effects. But actually it has the reverse effect, because most of us know what our triggers are and, you know, we keep an eye out for them. But if you've been on, like I was on Venlafaxine for about 2 years, and so you sort of get a bit complacent about, you know, watching for what your triggers are. Mm. You're still watching, but you're doing stuff about them. But then suddenly when you start feeling worse, you just sort of attribute it more to those triggers, and you try harder and harder, and then you start thinking, oh, I'm useless because, you know, I'm not trying hard enough to, you know, get past my triggers. And all the time you're attributing it to yourself rather than to the fact that the medication is failing to work.
Well, I think it's an absolute scandal. Trudy, would you mind holding on there? We'd like just to take a music break to give you a break and for the old bloke here to collect his thoughts.
Is that me or you?
Oh, yep. Both of us. is that okay? We'll just play a bit of music. You just hold on the line there, please.
Right, okay. Well, when I knew what the topic today was going to be, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a bit cheeky here. So I went back to a song called The Drugs Don't Work by a group called The Verve. And, of course, you're listening to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting right here every single Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30. You're with Planet FM 104.6.
All this talk of getting on, it's getting me down, my love, like a cat in a bag waiting to drown. This time I'm coming down, and I hope you're thinking of me. She laid down on your side. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse. But I know I'll see your face again. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you worse. But I know I'll see your face again. But I know I'm on the losing streak, as I pass down my old street. And if you want a show, then just let me know, and I'll sing in your ear again. Now the trucks don't work, they just make you work. Get in.
Well, very interesting wording here. I'm a host of Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown, and the wording there said the drugs don't work, they just make you worse. And our guest, Trudy Weber, who's on the phone from Hamilton, is confirming that with her experience of Enlifax. You're still there, Trudy?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, I just wanted to read something from Sarah McRae about John Campbell's podcast, which was also called When the Drugs Don't Work. She said, the more I listened to and watched that podcast, the angrier I got. Pharmac, and I think the general manager, Lisa Williams, is the spokesperson on that podcast with John Campbell, says... She said, Pharmac tells us to talk to our doctors if we have side effects, yet all the communications they sent to doctors was that it was the same medication and it would work exactly the same. The reality is they have no respect for our illness because it doesn't present as dramatic, life-threatening heart attacks or seizures. Instead, it destroys our will to live and makes us self-harm. They think we have a choice over this, but if they knew the disease, they would realise we don't. They need to stop messing with medications they don't understand and stop producing leaflets that don't contain the true side effects and risks of changing to a generic branded medication. And Trudy, you mentioned that these days, and particularly with Enlifax, there is no product information sheet, and in the period that I've been taking antidepressants, that is a very marked sort of a disappearance, if you like. In the old days when I was taking Effexor, there was always a descriptive information sheet in there which outlined the side effects. That doesn't happen anymore. And when you go online, it doesn't surprise me that it doesn't happen, because the list of side effects from any of these antidepressants is about as long as the Bible.
Yes, and... they're mostly the same as well, which is why I didn't look at to see if there was a side effect thing, but they didn't give me the leaflet that Pharmac had produced to say, you know, we're changing your medication and what to do if it didn't work. But then we found that all the advice that the GPs had anyway was just reassure your patient that it's the same drug and it should work the same. And because of that, a lot of people actually got turned away from their GPs, being told that, you know, they were just, it was all in their mind, you know, it's something else causing it. It's not your medication. And no, you can't change.
Right. One of the things that the podcast, John Campbell, asks Pharmac is the fact that many people are struggling to meet the cost of making a switch to Effexor. And I think you said that, well, your arrow of Enlifaxine is costing you $120 a month, although you've got that down to $60 from another pharmacy. But one of the things that John Campbell asked was, well, how many people have applied to Pharmac for some sort of relief in order to make the change without additional cost? And she said, well, only two of these applications that have been sent in have been approved. And she seemed quite surprised when John Campbell sort of took her up on this and said, well, I think there was probably over 100 applications or sort of hardship and asking for help to pay for Venlafaxine. She said, well, we've only approved two of them.
Yes. I think a lot of that is because people have given up and GPs have given up applying because they know that Pharmac just aren't going to listen to them. And, like, people have had reports sent by their psychiatrist saying that they need to be back on the Effexor, and they still turn them down. And it's like, well, if they're being assessed by a group of specialists, but these specialists don't know the individual patient, and so how they can be making decisions about a patient just on, you know, paperwork and then going against their psychiatrist's advice is beyond me. It's like, well, you know, do I actually have to come down and slip my wrists in front of you to prove that I need to be on Effexor?
But I'm severely distressed from the generic medication that you have approved and distributed throughout New Zealand. I gather that you've met with your local MP and made some presentations to him. How's that gone?
Quite a positive response. I talked to Jamie Strange, who's the Labour List MP in Hamilton East. And we talked about the petition that we're doing, and he said he'd be quite happy to present that to Parliament for us and hopefully get a public inquiry opened on the situation. And I also had a large file of documents and research that we've collected over the last few months, which would probably be take quite a lot to get through, but hopefully we've simplified it as much as we can. I'm just still 2 inches thick.
He's
going to give that to the Minister of Health, because so far our responses from government have been that it's Pharmac's decision on what drugs they fund, and they have no say over the, you know, they don't get involved in what drugs Pharmac fund. But our point is, this isn't a funding issue, this is a safety issue. This is, they've done something which they had no knowledge, you know, they didn't have enough knowledge to actually make this decision.
Well, it's a serious...
Even though they've referred to all their experts.
Mm. It's a serious mental health issue, though, you know, and I think that Rob Sheaf, who was the consulting psychiatrist from Grey Lynn, who I interviewed 3 weeks ago, you know, he said it's appalling that a drug causes your depression to get worse and your anxiety to get worse. I mean, Declan, in the break, asked the question, you know, I wonder whether Enlifex could be given responsibility for an increase in the suicide rate.
Well, yes, we wonder that too, and that's another thing I've done research on, is trying to find out what medications people were on when they committed suicide. And I've found that this is a statistic that is just about impossible to get. I contacted the Waikato DHB, and they said that it would be difficult to find the statistics, because they don't, when somebody comes in for like an attempted suicide, they don't necessarily record it as attempted suicide, they record it as the injury. So if someone slashed their wrists, they record it as slashed wrists, or, you know, choking, or...
But what if it was an overdose?
Pardon?
What if it was an overdose?
If it's an overdose on the actual drug, then that will be recorded. And I wrote to the coroner's office, because they investigate suicides, obviously, and they don't keep the statistics of what medications people were on either, unless the person had overdosed on venlafaxine, then it won't come up as that they were taking, you know, what drugs they were taking. I also wrote to the Department of Corrections to see if they'd had inmates noticed a change in inmates' behaviour or increases in violence and, you know, self-harm and suicide for patients that they have in their mental health units, but again, they don't keep that sort of information. So, Pharmac's hiding behind a lack of information. They know we can't prove that people have committed suicide, but on the other hand, they can't prove that people haven't.
I think the minute you know, sorry, Declan, coming in here. I think the minute you know that you know, there has been a suicide. I would have thought that would have been part and parcel of actually suicide prevention, is to find out what medications people are on and ascertain, could this be a factor? Because if this is causing as much grief as it is, I'm wondering why the GPs just don't say, well, look, we're not going to prescribe this anymore. We'll put you on something totally different that's not going to have...
Well, it's because, Declan, the reassurances from Pharmac were unequivocal that this was exactly the same as the previously prescribed antidepressants. I've checked that out online, printed that information, and it is absolutely unequivocal, and I can't see how any doctor would question, because it's so reassuring. Would you agree with that, Trudy?
Yes, I mean, it sounds like, we've decided to change from Smarties to M&Ms now, and, they're no different, so, you're fine.
Exactly the same flavour and whatever. You've talked about the difference. My understanding with Enlifax is that there are two tablets in there which are encased by a sort of a pinkish cover, and there is some concern that people are taking that cover off the pill and just taking what the capsule on the inside. Is that your understanding as how Enlifax is presented?
Yes, that is how it's presented. But I don't think the plastic capsule is actually anything to do with it. I think it's they have the drugs have different excipients in them, which alters the rate of... because it's a slow-release drug, unless they used exactly the same excipients, you're going to get a different related rate of release. Mm. But because it's within acceptable limits under the bioequivalency, MedSafe okay is. But because people are very individual, a change, just even a small change in that release into your blood can have a huge difference.
Well, surely our bodies get used to one particular medication, and I had been on Effexor, admittedly small doses, very small doses, for quite a lengthy period of time, but I'm sure that my body has got used to that, and I think that's proved by the fact that when I went back to Effexor after about nine months on this Enla crap... it only took 48 hours for the Effexor to improve the quality of my life, not only mentally, but physically as well. And the shaking went, the gut-wrenching sort of stomach pain went, the psoriasis-type effect went. And, I mean, I was only on about 150 megs of this Enlifax. Some are taking 300. I just hate to think how they're feeling on it.
Yes, the dosages on the Enlifax, I think, are probably a lot higher than what they were on Effexor, which makes you wonder how much money they're actually saving, Pharmac saving, if they're having to pay for higher doses of right. the Enlifax anyway.
Yeah. Well, poor old Pharmac's only got an $985 million budget. So, it's saving $15 million in this switch from the branded antidepressants to a generic Enlifax doesn't seem to be that significant in the light of almost a $1 billion budget. Can we take another music break and just come back to you and wrap up?
Yes, that'll be fine.
Great. Thanks, Trudy.
Okay, well, I've got a track here for you now for all the young ones and people like me that are young at heart. It's a track from Kyo and Ali Goulding. I turned your microphone off, so I muted you. It's from Kyo and Ali Goulding. The song's called First Time. You're listening to Take It From Us Mental Health Radio, broadcasting here every Tuesday on 104.6 Planet FM from 12:30 to 1:30.
We were lovers for the first time, running on the red lights. The middle finger was a peace sign, yeah. We were sipping on emotions, smoking and inhaling every moment. It was reckless and we owned it, yeah, yeah. We were high and we were sober. the train track, way back when we tried our first cigarettes. Oh, $10 was a fat stack. I'd do it all again. Oh, buy my jacket and a snapback. Your dad's black Honda was a Maybach. Oh, three stacks on the playback. I'd do it all. We were lovers on a wild ride, speeding for the finish line, coming to the end of our time, yeah. Started off as a wildfire, burning down the bridges to our empire. Our love was something they could admire, yeah, yeah. We were high and we were sober, we were on and we were over. We were young and now I'm older, but I do. Getting drunk on the train track, way back when we tried our first cigarettes. Oh, $10 was a fat stack. I'd do it all again. Oh, bought my jacket and a snapback. Your dad's black Honda was a Maybach. Oh, three stacks on the playback. I'd do it all again. Oh.
And that was Kayo and Ellie Goulding singing First Time. Let's take it from us, 104.6 Planet FM, of course, with Mental Health Radio. I was just going to mention that track came out in April of 2017, and Kayo, if I'm pronouncing his name right, he's a Norwegian DJ, and Ellie Goulding, of course, is a singer-songwriter, and she's English.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown, and we're talking today to Trudy Weber about this Enlifex saga, and Trudy has done a great deal of work on this. Trudy, I mean, you've got the time to do all this research, and I must applaud you in contacting sort of people like Corrections and other organisations to get to the bottom of what's developed here.
Yes, well, due to my medical misadventure 5 years ago, I have a lot of time on my hands at the moment.
Right.
As I'm unable to work too much. But, yeah, not only I've put a lot of time into this, but Sarah McRae and Heather Williams, who kicked it all off, have also done a lot of work pounding the different organisations with official information acts, and I'm sure that Pharmac now winces whenever they see an email with our names on them.
Yes, well, I think in your email to me you said, I'm hoping that at least we can make Pharmac understand that mental health is not a one-size-fits-all, and prevent them from doing more damage to vulnerable people affected by mental health in the future. Do you think that that's an achievable goal?
I would like to think so, but going on research that they're funding, I think we were used as a trial group to see if they could get this change past us without us noticing. And then they can refer to it as the nocebo effect. So if anybody complains, it's because we've seen something about the drug on TV or through the media, or somebody else has told us something, and suddenly we've developed all these side effects. If they carry on using this excuse, it basically silences us as a group. We have no voice. That if we go and try and tell somebody, you know, what's wrong, they're just going to say, well, no, it's not the drug, it's just, you know, it's all in your mind, you know.
Sorry,
go and get over it.
I've seen this term, nocebo. That's N-A-C-E-B-O.
No, it's N-O-C-E-B-O.
Nocebo.
Yes, it's like the placebo effect, but the opposite. Instead of giving somebody a pill and telling them they're going to feel less pain, the nocebo effect is when you get given a drug and you read the side effects and immediately you start developing all the side effects.
So Pharmac's view is that we're all paranoid.
Yes, yeah, and they also think that antidepressants are mostly a placebo effect anyway, so I'm like, well, why don't they just give us sugar pills then and call it quits?
Well, I don't think we'd better get into that debate as to the effectiveness of antidepressants, because it does appear that placebos are almost as effective as an antidepressant. But, I mean, looking at John Campbell's podcast, and I urge people, listeners, today to go to TVNZ On Demand to see that podcast, because TV1 has really done a great job in alerting so many people to the troubles and the serious intensive side effects with Enlifax. They've covered this story at least twice on national news, and John Campbell has done it through his podcast. So TVNZ On Demand to see that. It's probably about 30 minutes, but in watching Lisa Williams from the general manager from Pharmac, I'm not optimistic that she's going to be convinced that Pharmac have done anything wrong at all. And Trudy, my feeling is that, again, mental health patients prescribed antidepressants are just being used as guinea pigs.
I think we are, because there aren't any obvious statistics. Like with an epileptic drug, if that doesn't work, the person has seizures. So then, you know, you've got a noticeable side effect. But with depression, we just get told that, you know, there are other things happening in your life that are causing this. It's not the medication. So they feel that they're free to just change whatever medication they want on us.
Well, it's interesting that you use the example of seizures, because if you go online and look at the side effects from Enlifax, you will find that one of the most intense side effects can be seizures.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether anybody on social media is reporting that they have had seizures, but I would say that's a fairly serious side effect, and we've got prescribers who want us to take more of this thing, because that they seem to think that's the only way it's going to be effective.
Yes, and I've read research that says not to drive when you're coming off one of these drugs, as you know, you can actually be putting other road users in danger because of the withdrawal symptoms you're experiencing. So,
well,
if that's
Sarah,
not dangerous, I don't know what is.
Well, Sarah McRae told me that she had had four car accidents in the time that she was on Enlifax, and she's a mother of four young children. Now, I don't know whether the children were in the car at the time that she had those accidents, but she made it very clear that car accidents were not something that were common in her driving experience.
And they wouldn't get attributed to the medication you were taking either. Like if there was a major road accident, they're not going to be looking at the driver and what medication they were on at the time.
Well, they're certainly looking at drugs and alcohol building up to the Christmas period. This Enlifax, I'd say, is probably as damaging a drug as, dare I say it, synthetic cannabis.
Yes, you could have the same effects, but unfortunately that's probably not something they're screening for or
even asking about.
Yeah, or even asking about, you know, what medications were you on at the time of the accident or, I mean, there's lots of statistics like this that aren't kept on. And there's such a stigma about antidepressants as well. And I know as soon as you go into ED and they see on your record that you suffer from depression, there's a, like this immediate, oh, well, whatever you've got, it must be in your head
right.
sort of syndrome. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that people are becoming more aware of depression, but it seems that...
the stigma doesn't go away.
Yeah, the stigma stays, and that's the problem with the suicides as well, is obviously a family, when somebody commits suicide, is in such distress, you can't really go and ask them these pertinent questions, and so it all gets, you know, hidden, and I've experienced several people committing suicides and the effects it's had on their families, and you think, you know, you can't intrude on those people. They're going through enough grief as it is, and then to find out that this all was, you know, could have been preventable would, you know, be even worse.
Yeah, well, stereotypes are still alive and well. I watched on MySky last night the Broken Wood Mysteries, which is a program that I really have enjoyed. Last night it was all about a cranky psychiatrist who had been murdered, and they had three patients who clearly they depicted as having mental health issues. These were terrible stereotypes of what people with mental illness, how they present. I mean, they had one guy with a sort of a TV aerial out his back prodding the earth and talking about, the particular waves that he was trying to detect. I mean, it was an appalling and discriminatory presentation of people with supposed mental illness. So we've still got a long way to go, Trudy. What's your next step? We've got about a minute to go. What's your next step in this campaign?
Just to try and get through to Pharmac somehow that what they've done is unacceptable, and, you know, they've put patients, they've ruined people's lives. And I mean, these, you know, aren't the crazy people out the back with the antennas. These are like your normal everyday neighbour who's been coping perfectly well and has suddenly, you know, lost their job and lost their family, and all because Pharmac decided they couldn't, you know, have the brand of medication that actually worked for them.
Well, all I can encourage listeners who may be concerned about what they've heard is to go and see their doctor, stress to their doctor that they want to go back onto the antidepressant, and then try and seek some cost relief, either from WINS or by writing to Pharmac. But Trudy, thank you very much for your very explicit description of the impact of Enlifex on your own life and on many other people's lives. I think it is a scandal, and I hope that Pharmac will do something about it.
Yes, so do I.
Right. Well, let's we'll hope together.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your contribution to Take It From Us.
That's fine.
I was just going to say, maybe we need to send some emails off to the Ministry of Health.
Right.
All right, we're out of here. Let's catch you next week, guys.
Right.
How in the world do you think anybody's supposed to read?